VisuAid is a Canadian-based company that's involved in blindness-related technology production, including a range of solutions for the DAISY digital talking book system and also a GPS system called Trekker that runs on a standard PDA. To tell us about both of these product lines, we're joined by Samuel Adler of VisuAid. Well, it's good to have you on the program, Sam, and I thought we'd start by talking a little bit about your GPS solution, because it seems to me there are two broad categories of product that VisuAid's involved with, and one of them is the Trekker product. Can you tell us in broad terms what that is and what it does?
Sure. Actually, what we do is we use a regular PDA that runs under Windows CE, and we implement the software on it, and this software is called Trekker, and it's connected to a small GPS module that's hanging around your shoulder. So all it is like a small strap, weighs less than a pound and a half or so. And when you step outside, it connects to the satellites above you and then gets the information and superposes it on a map that's been uploaded to your PDA, and therefore can give you directions on where you are and what's nearby the location you are.
So does the Trekker software work with a range of PDAs? In other words, could people just purchase the GPS receiver and the software and run it, or do you customize the PDA in some way?
Since this is quite a new process, we have actually two different PDAs that are working with the GPS, with the Trekker, Casio iPacks, Compaq iPack, the model 3850 and 3950 have been adapted. And we're moving on to different types. So as time goes by, we will have a list of different PDAs that one could have in his possession and just purchase the strap and the program and then install the Trekker on his PDA. So it would be possible, yes.
You've got an excellent website, and I was able to take a look at the user manual, which is online there for everybody to see to get a kind of a feel for what the product does. It looks like you're supporting both points of interest and map data already.
Exactly. The map data is already on the map itself. So when we purchase our maps through Navtech, which is a company based in Chicago, they have maps worldwide. So there's already some information that is on the map, such as hotels, restaurants, and so on. So those points of interest are already on the map. Therefore, one could always personalize his Trekker or his map by adding in points of interest. So you can edit voice messages or also text that would add on new positions on the map itself.
So a point of interest, I take it, might be something that the map doesn't necessarily recognize. For example, you could mark your own home as a point of interest. Is that how it works?
Yes. You're walking down the street and you realize that the map doesn't mention that there's a very busy driveway and you'd like to have this as a reference. Well, you just hit a button and you have 5 seconds to mention this busy driveway. And when you get back home, if you want, you can just change the voice message into a text message. Also, what you can do is you can set it as your favorites. So there are a list of favorite point of interest that one would like to search first. So it's possible to add them on that list.
And in terms of the map data available, are you supporting pretty much every country, or is there a limit at this stage to the countries that you're supporting?
It is kind of limited right now. We have maps worldwide, but in some countries there are parts that are not covered. So if you look at Canada, for instance, we have the larger cities. The United States, of course, is fully covered. You'll move on to Europe, and there'll be some major cities here and there that will be covered and others not. One example I often give is Australia. There are no maps made for Australia yet. But as time goes by, the demand will be there, and Navtech will be able to give us the maps that we're looking for. So it's something that's going to be a continuous process, and it's growing all the time also.
You've got, I guess, one major competitor in the blindness market at the moment in terms of the BrailleNote GPS software. How does what you're doing compare with what they're doing?
I've had a chance to experience the BrailleNote. It's a very nice piece of equipment. Does a good job. It's very accurate. The difference between the BrailleNote and the Trekker is that one might not have the BrailleNote in his possession. So, of course, we know the BrailleNote is an expensive piece, and then you add on the strap and the GPS module. That becomes kind of expensive. As for the Trekker itself, it's sold as a standalone unit. So one buys the Trekker, it comes with the PDA, and then he can move on with this one piece of equipment without having to buy a note taker before.
Right, so you may not necessarily want all of the word processing and the other web surfing and things that the BrailleNote offers. You just want something that will do the GPS for you.
Exactly.
So how much are you selling Checker for?
The Checker is retailing for $15.95 American dollars, and that includes, when you buy the unit, it includes the PDA, it includes the software. It also includes the software to be able to transfer information from your computer to the Checker. It comes with the GPS module and an extra battery pack, so that one can walk outside and have at least 6 hours of information.
So let's say, for instance, that I'm getting ready to go to the ACB convention, which is going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this year. I haven't been there before. Presumably, I would be able to not only download map data for that into Checker, but also I see it has an offline mode. So you'd kind of be able to explore around the hotel before you go and get a visual picture in your head of what's round and about.
Exactly. And that's one of the nice features that our competitors do not have. Most of us, what we'd like to do is we'd like to step outside virtually, I'm talking, and check around what's in the area. I'm looking for a restaurant. I can go into the PDA and do a search within 5 minutes of walking time. What are the restaurants? Or within 10 minutes of walking time, what are the shopping malls that I can find? And it's going to list me all these places, these points of interest, and then I can determine offline, before I step outside, how to get there, what path can I take, and how long will it take. And it also calculates the distance that you're going to cover. So those are very important things that we need to know before we step outside to go to a different location.
So how does it keep you on track? Can you, for example, it knows, I suppose, based on the GPS data, where you're starting from. Can you put in a destination and say, this is where I want to get to, and can it tell you when you're going in the wrong direction or doing something that's not going to get you there?
Not really. In fact, we can compare the Checker to a map. So one that before one steps outside for going to one to a different place will be able to look beforehand where he's going, but the Checker won't tell him turn left or turn right. That's something that we have to determine ourselves. Maybe eventually in one of our future future programs we might implement something like that. But for now, I think the most part is to be able to step outside and know what's on your left and what's on your right. And if I go on my right, what happens if I turn left? You know, you can really browse offline. Even if you're if you're outside on the corner of the street, you could go offline and verify, if I turn left, will I be in the right direction? Yes. And that's the most important part for right now.
How obtrusive is it? Because I suppose a blind person's usually got at least a cane or a guide dog that uses one hand. So you presumably don't want to have anything that consumes the other hand. And also, I suppose, you want a little bit of privacy. You don't want this thing squawking at you in a way that's too obtrusive.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty discreet. Since it's very small, it's like a little strap. It hangs down on the side of your hip. But there's a speaker that's external that you can clip anywhere around your jacket, for instance, or on your shirt. And there is a volume control on there. So let's say, for instance, someone gets on the corner of a street, he could mute the volume within a fraction of a second, and then get the message to be repeated once he's ready to hear the message, once he's crossed the street. So that's one thing that's very important. And at all time, it is possible to hit a button to have the where am I position. And the where am I is very precise, to such point that it gives you the civic address that's the closest to where you are. So all this information can be repeated and can be used with a hit of one button only. So it's a very discreet piece of equipment.
So can you give me an example of the kind of thing that it would say when you hit that where am I key?
Sure. It'll say, for instance, you're walking down University Drive and you hit the where am I, it'll say nearby 1521 University Drive, ahead, two points of interest, let's say Mario's Restaurant and ATM for Royal Bank. And then it'll say the corner of the street that's coming up ahead, crossing Stone Boulevard. That's the type of information it's going to give you when you hit the where am I.
That's pretty impressive. What sort of feedback are you getting from the product?
The feedback that we're getting, the people really like it because it's light. It's a very small product. It's a standalone also, so that's what's pretty nice. You can also purchase the maps very easily. So if one goes to Paris or travels a lot, he can give us a call, or through our website, eventually we'll be able to download the different maps. So those are things that people really like. But I think browsing offline and personalizing your points of interest are the features that people appreciate the most.
And when you get Trekker, do you get, as part of the package, the map data for the city that you live in?
Yes.
Okay. That's very good. And, of course, people can go to the website, which we'll talk about at the end of the interview, and find out more information on there. The other area of interest is the way that Visuate has really been a pioneer in the delivery of products that make DAISY digital talking books available to blind consumers. And I guess that people will have varying knowledge of DAISY. Could we just talk a little bit about what DAISY is and why it's so exciting?
Sure, of course. The DAISY format is a standard. In fact, it's been worldwide decided by blind users. So there are different types of DAISY books, but they all follow the same standard. And what it helps is that when you have a DAISY book in your hands, you can navigate, you can browse within the book itself. Most of us, when we get a book, we like to go through the table of contents first. And if we don't want to read chapter 1, we want to move on to chapter 3, we can do that. Or if we want to refer ourselves to page 56, we can do that within a few keystrokes. And that's really what makes DAISY format or DAISY standard very, very accessible for us blind people.
I've just been having a play with Victor Readersoft, which we'll have a look at after we've finished talking to you. And what's impressive, of course, is the multimedia nature of DAISY. So while you're listening to the audio reading of a book, it's tracking where you're going as well in the book, and you can look at it with a screen reader or the built-in self-voicing and get all sorts of information on spelling, that kind of thing from there. So it's a really robust format. So you've got a number of solutions. I suppose we'll talk about hardware first in the Victor Reader line. I noticed that you've just released a really small, nifty player that not only plays DAISY CDs, but also MP3 and standard audio CDs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes, the new reader is called the Victor Reader Vibe. And most of us could describe it as a cool piece of equipment. Mostly think about young children that go to school and that need to use the DAISY standard, but might not want to have a larger piece of equipment with a built-in speaker. They just want something that's very portable and that suits their needs. So that's what we've tried to do with the Victor Reader Vibe. It's a smaller piece of equipment. In fact, what we've done is we've taken an off-the-shelf MP3 reader and we've implemented our software on there. And this software is adapted so that if someone wants to navigate through a book, he can do that. But he can also use it as an MP3 player. So if he wants to listen to his music or his information or the regular CDs that he buys at local libraries, digital talking books, whatever can be read on this small portable reader.
So it works with CD-ROMs. It's not one of those MP3 players that has the flash memory, etc., right? It just works off CDs?
Exactly. Yep. It has a small memory because, you know, it's shock-proof, of course. But as any MP3 reader, it takes the information right off the CD and reads it off to the person. So as for our larger units, they have flash memory. So they import the information and read it off flash.
Okay. Have you been able to make the various features of the player, such as menus and that kind of thing, accessible?
Yes. Most of us, the feature we'll use the most often is go-to page. So when you hit the go-to page button, and then you're going to go through the buttons on the Vibe, and you're going to hit 1 and then 6, and it's going to say 16. And then you're going to hit the confirm button. And once it gets to page 16, it's going to say page 16, and then move on. Volume up, volume down, bookmarking will be mentioned also. Speed up, speed down. All these features will be adapted for blind users.
Yeah, I was quite impressed to see that even in this device, which, as you say, was originally based on a commercial MP3 player, you've been able to introduce a speed control with pitch compensation, which basically means you can crank the book right up and it talks faster without that chipmunk effect.
That's right, no distortion.
Right, okay. Do you know how much faster than the regular it will go? Like, is it 2 times the speed, or how does it work?
If we copy the exact same format that we have on our other softwares, it goes down to 2/3 of the regular speed, and then it might go all the way up to 3 times the regular speed. So that's the range that you can select.
And what's the recommended retail for the Vibe?
The Vibe in Europe will be retailing for $275.
Right, that's not too bad, given that you've got a fully-fledged DAISY player that will do your MP3s as well. And you have some other hardware solutions. I think there's the original Victor Reader, and then there's another one called Victor Reader Pro. What are the differences there?
Okay, the Victor Reader Pro is a small portable unit. It also has rechargeable batteries. It has a built-in speakerphone. But the difference between the Pro and the Classic is that the Pro has a keypad on it. So if one wanted, if let's say, for instance, a student in class, the teacher will say, let's go to page 67. He can go to page 67, entering the digits on its on the keypad. The bookmarking is much easier also because you can personalize bookmarks. Let's say, for instance, someone would say, this bookmark needs to be bookmark number 14. You can do that without having 13, 12, and so on. So the Pro is very nice for that. It's mostly for students. The Classic is more like a tabletop reader. It has all the same features. You can bookmark, you can browse through the chapters and the subchapters, except that it's a little adapted for an older generation of people for leisure reading. For instance, the CD is a slot drive, so there's no need of opening a drawer. You just insert the CD and the CD will be pulled in. For adjusting the volume, the speed, and the tone, it's not buttons, it's really roll-top buttons. So one can feel very comfortable adjusting the volume, just like on the television, for instance. And there's a little less buttons on it, so there's no keypad. So if you want to go to page 12, you can do it, but you won't be able to enter 1 and 2. You'll have to use the cursors on the center of it. So it's really the same machine, but for different type of readings and for different people.
I'm curious that you got a speakerphone into the Pro. What was the rationale behind putting a speakerphone into a DAISY player?
The speakerphone is very useful for one that for someone that, for instance, would like to listen to a book before he goes to bed, or someone that's reading a book anywhere in the park or something and doesn't want to have the headphones on. So, and the Classic and the Pro have built-in speakerphones. The Vibe doesn't have a speakerphone. That one comes with the earphones.
Okay, so you mean like it's got a loudspeaker on it?
That's right.
Okay, all right. So the Victor Reader Classic that you're referring to, I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because I do a lot of talking to people about DAISY in the context of what's to come where I'm from, and one of the big concerns that I hear from people is that the majority of blind people who use audiobooks in particular are elderly and have concerns about newfangled technological devices.
Exactly.
And how do you think the Classic has successfully dealt with that issue?
An older generation will prefer using the Classic because it has many features that are easy to use. For instance, the on-off button is really a flip switch, so you know when it's on and you know when it's off. There's a built-in handle also, so if one wanted to transport the Classic from one place to another, the handle is already there. The roll-top buttons are very easy to use, and they're placed in such of a position that it's very easy for one to reach them and change the volume very quickly. When you insert the CD, it starts reading automatically, and when you shut the unit off, it remembers where you were. Everything is recorded when the unit is shut off, so it's very easy to use. The bookmarking is simple. You hit one button, you push and hold for a second, and the bookmark is there. The navigation is done with 4 center cursors. So someone that wants to navigate from one page to the next can do it without really needing much training to be able to use it. As for the Pro, is more of a techie kind of piece of equipment.
I know I'm probably asking for a lot here, but in the case of the Classic, if you take a CD out in the middle of reading a book and perhaps read another one that might have a magazine, and then you come back to that book again, will it remember where you were if you put the CD back in?
Absolutely. The Classic and the Pro have a built-in memory that can remember up to 4,000 bookmarks, no matter how many times you've used them before, and remembers last position of every CD that you've put in there. So that's one of the nice features. You use a book, you've listened to chapter 1 and 2, you pop the book out, and a week later you put it back in, and it goes right back to where you finished off. So that's a very important feature.
That's great, isn't it? And many of our listeners, the majority who listen to us on the website, will of course be pretty accomplished PC users and would be interested in Victor Readersoft PC. I think I read somewhere that there is a cut-down version of this software that comes with Bookshare subscriptions. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exact.
Okay.
One that that becomes a subscriber at Bookshare can download a diluted version of Victor Reader software. The Victor Reader software that they download does not have the text-to-speech engines and will not be able to bookmark as much as a regular version. Of course, there are other small limitations, but it's a nice demo that one would like to use. Also on our website, if you would like, you can download a 30-day demo of the Victor Reader software and install it on your computer.
So what are the virtues of Victor Reader Soft? What's good about that product?
Well, part of the DAISY standard is that you can have some books that are fully speech and others that are fully text. Now, some of them have text and speech. So if someone wants to read a book like from Bookshare that's text only but that has no speech, the built-in text-to-speech engines will be very necessary. Or, for instance, someone that that reads books but likes to listen to JAWS. He's been using JAWS for years. He's used to JAWS. He has his own settings. He knows the navigation within JAWS. He could use a DAISY book with his JAWS synthesizer. Also, there's more options. Someone would like to spell words, you can use JAWS for spelling words or text-to-speech engines. So having a full textbook is a very nice, it's a nice part of the DAISY standard for some people that are in school, for instance.
See, I suppose that the degree to which you can do some of these things and jump between paragraphs or pages or whatever depends, of course, on the degree to which the producer of the DAISY material has put the markup in, right?
That's exact. So if someone recorded a book and only indexed it to pages, well, that's the limitation that you have. Most of the people that have been making books that we've seen up to now, the paging indexation is there. There's up to paragraphs also. You can go from chapter to chapter and subchapters in certain cases. So the indexation is really up to the person that built the book.
And with the reading of audio material in Victor Reader Soft, does that also have the ability to speed up the reading without affecting the pitch, etc.?
Absolutely. The same options are there, up to 3 times the regular speed, down to 2/3 the regular speed.
How much is actually produced now that can be downloaded? I mean, if you don't belong to a library that is at present producing DAISY material, is it worth buying Victor Reader Soft? Can you get a hold of material off the internet that's recorded in DAISY audio and that kind of thing?
The DAISY books under text format are the ones that you'll find the most on the internet. Someone would not like to download a book that has the speech in it because you can go up to, 400, 500, or 600 megabytes. As for a book that has text only, can be a very small file, 250 Ks. So it's a smaller book. It's easy to download. For instance, Bookshare, I think they have 10,000 books already there that one can choose through and download and keep on their hard drive. The main reason for having a software to read this is that the sizes are smaller to download, and also you have the capabilities of using your own screen readers or your text-to-speech engines.
And, of course, you can put your CDs in your CD-ROM drive that's got DAISY material on, and it will take it from there. I see also that you can make annotations. So if you're a student and you're reading a text, you can actually put notes, kind of like putting notes in the margin in some ways.
That's right. Those are called text notes. So someone is reading a book and stops in a paragraph and would like to insert a text note. There's a little window that appears on the screen, and you can edit within this text, within this this window, up to 3 or 4 pages of text that will be attached to that one position on the book. There are other annotations, such as, for instance, the regular bookmarks. So someone is reading and would like to bookmark a section because he wants to come back. That's one of the possibilities. And there is a bookmark that's called the quick bookmark that we use for referring ourselves to last position. So if you're reading a book and then it says, please refer yourself to page 72, you can quick bookmark the position you're in, move on to page 72, and then reach your quick bookmark within a few seconds.
It almost makes me want to go back to university, you know, when I see this kind of... and I think of all the painful stuff I had to go through to put material like that together.
That would have made it a little easier.
It certainly would have. So you can download a demo of this, and I think it's only about 50-odd megs, so with a high-speed connection it doesn't take long at all.
That's right.
Can you unlock that? If you want to purchase it after the 30-day demo, can it be purchased online?
No, actually, you cannot purchase it online. But if one would like to use the 30-day demo, we can ship them a full version, and that one will go and erase the 30-day demo on a computer.
Okay. And how much does it sell for the software?
The software is $149.
Right. Okay. That's very good. Now, there's a website where people can have a play and read about Trekker and look at DAISY material. Where can people go to get more information?
That would be on our website for the company VisuAid, and that's www.visuaide.com, VisuAid.com.
.com, okay. You're based in Canada, though, right?
That's right, near Montreal.
I was looking for a .ca address before, but your .com.
That's right.
Very good. All right, well, I appreciate you taking some time. There's some great stuff on the site, and we'll certainly keep in touch as the products develop.
Well, thank you so much.